highlights of internet technology, which is available to anyone who is plugged in. Do you think it looks easy? Well, the computer lab at the University of Toronto says not easy enough. They're using the internet to set up interactive computer systems that do all the thinking and anticipate your every move. In the office of the future, somebody or something will always be watching.
Warning, you are being watched.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Cooper Stock. I'm with the Department of Computer and Electrical and Computer Engineering at the University of Toronto. And the room you're standing in is the reactive room. This is an environment we set up as part of the Ontario Telepresence Project to look at technology and see how it's affecting people around us and see how the future of technology is going to behave. The old internet used to let people read news and post news, and the relationship was symmetric. We had equal abilities in both. With the way the internet is going now, with multimedia and the World Wide Web, you start to have people who are very able to read. We're able to watch these great animations. We're able to control things using the World Wide Web. But we have very little input. We can't contribute ourselves. So in this domain here, we're working specifically in video conferencing and saying, what can be done to make people's lives easier? And our approach was, rather than trying to make user-friendly interfaces that let people interact with the computer efficiently, let's hide the computer entirely. Let's tell the person that they can come in and use complicated technology without ever looking at a computer, without touching a computer. I shouldn't have to think about the technology. I should just think about the tasks that I'm performing. So in this room here, we've done just that. There are computers, but you don't have to touch them. And if I want to talk to you, and I want to show you a document, all I do is I pick up a document, like this one here, and I put it down underneath our document camera. The document camera is watching to see what is underneath it. And if it sees there's a document there, it'll automatically show that document to people in the room and to any visitors who might be attending our video conference. If I want to show you a videotape, all I have to do is go over to the VCR, put in my tape, and press play. Again, the system reacts automatically and shows people the tape without me thinking about where are people located, what signals do I have to provide them. Everything is done automatically. Another example is our electronic whiteboard here. I can participate in collaborative drawing sessions or collaborative planning simply by picking up this pen. What happens is that a Macintosh output is displayed here automatically, and I can now sketch. Sketch on this board without thinking about how did I turn it on. All I did was pick up this pen. I pick up the pen and the room knows, well, this pen is associated with the board. I must want to show this to everybody, so I'll turn it on. When I put the pen down, the room automatically turns it off. Everything is taken care of for you automatically. Anuj Gujar, who's another research student here, is attending this room as a video conference member from a remote location. But he can move around the room simply by issuing audio commands to the computer that is here.
Show menu. Two.
You'll notice in all of this that Anuj could control his view simply by issuing simple English phrases to the computer. He didn't have to think about the technology. He didn't have to think about how to control complex devices. He just used easy to understand commands that the computer recognized and acted on automatically. And the same sort of interaction should be true for any technology that we use, be it in a video conference environment or be it other things on the internet, using the web, whatever. We're in a different room now in the University of Toronto, but we could be anywhere in the world and still have the same ability I'm about to show you. Using the World Wide Web, we can connect to the video conference room we were just in and look around and explore, interact with the technology that is there. Okay, so right now we have a wide-angle view of the whole room, and you can see Kamiya, who's working over there at the desk. If we want to get a little closer look at him, we can zoom in here, and the camera will respond, showing us exactly the portion of the screen we want to look at. If we want to look over at his screen a little closer, we can zoom in really tight and look at the screen. And now the camera will move over a little bit and we can take a peek at the work he's doing right there. The limits of the technology are really up to the limits of imagination. Whatever people can think of, we can build applications that satisfy those requirements and build on the questions that people are asking. Right now, we've used the video conference room as a simple prototype to test some of the ideas. But you could use them in a medical domain. You could have doctors taking advantage of smart technology to help them perform their diagnoses, perhaps even dispensing medication to patients and so on. If we take the time now to experiment and see what works and what doesn't, then in the future, we can have applications that are really useful to a wide segment of the population.